Good morning, everyone. It is a glorious day, is it not? Was it ever beautiful this morning getting up? That was fabulous, I got to tell you. Coming over the bridge, you know, God has such a wonderful way of putting your soul at peace. You know, all you got to do is look. It's just right there in front of you. Well, this morning, we're going to be sharing again from the Gospel of Luke, and we're in the 12th chapter. And you'll remember that Luke is spending a good bit of time teaching the disciples how to handle the strong man. There's been one example after another of Luke. Jesus gets into a situation where he comes face to face with someone of religious or political clout who has made a decision that what they want is more important than what God wants. And so Jesus, person after person, situation after situation, he goes from one to the other. He doesn't avoid them. In fact, sometimes he seeks them out. This time, someone comes to him. And so we're going to read the story of the rich man and the parable that goes along with it. And I want to remind you, he's just had a confrontation with someone of political clout, who has put themselves above other people and is not humble. They have elevated self at the expense of other human beings. And so he's walking along here in the 12th chapter. He's pulled the disciples aside a couple of times and had a conversation with them. And now as he's walking, this is chapter 12, verse 13. We're just going to read through verse 21. The parable of the rich fool, which is initiated by a strong man who has a problem. And we need to talk about the problem and how Jesus confronts the problem, because the problem, honestly, is pretty universal for most of us in the room. It's not an unusual problem to have. So here's the story now. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So this is about money. Anybody in the room have a problem with money? Not enough? Anybody in the room have a problem with too much? See what I mean? You got a problem. I'm just saying. Anyway, here we go. Jesus replied. Now, this is not kind language. You understand how Jesus confronts the strong man. This guy has a sin in his life, and Jesus is going to confront it. He's face to face with the guy now. He said, "Man, who appointed me a judge and an arbitrator between you?" It's not my job. So let's just stop for a second before Jesus tells this story. Jesus doesn't really want to engage this right now. And so he's not going to give this guy what the guy wants, intentionally. What do you think the problem is? "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." What's the problem? Think about it. What's going on in this man's life that he would come publicly in front of a very large crowd and try to get Jesus on his side to get the inheritance from his father? What's happened in this guy's life? "Tell my brother," not my father, "tell my brother to divide the inheritance." What has happened? His father's dead, right? The father dies, and we got two brothers, and there's an inheritance. That means there's something of value available. There's some kind of asset, some kind of worldly value that is available. And by Deuteronomic law, to both brothers. There's a written law about this. And for this man to come to Jesus and publicly try to get this teacher on his side, that means what is going on? What's happening in the family? What's going on between the brothers? They're fighting. The family's fighting over what? Money. Worldly asset, could be land. It's a worldly asset of some sort. They're having an argument. And what's happened to the two brothers? They hate each other. I've lived this out, guys. I see this all the time. And they're not talking to each other, and they can't resolve this. Why? Why can't they resolve it? Because they're not God-minded. They're not godly. Their sin is me first. That's their sin. And so this man, what he wants, what he really wants, is for Jesus to make a public decision that he's allowed to put himself first. That's what the guy wants. He wants Jesus to fulfill his worldly desire, and if he had his way, he would get all of the assets and leave his brother off to the side. And you know that's true. Why? Because his brother should have done the fair thing to begin with, and now he just deserves that, so I'm going to give it to him. Right? I've lived this a lot. I know how this goes. And so the brothers aren't talking to each other anymore. Why? Because dad's not there to intervene. You see? So that's the situation. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Me, me, me. My. I. That's the sin. That's the problem. Now, how many of you have a concept of how Jesus feels about money? how do you think Jesus feels about your money? Money is the... Wait, we'll get to it. Don't let the cat out of the bag yet. I got to watch Fran because she's always like two steps ahead of me. Okay, so answer, money is the root of all evil. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Let's see what he says. Here we go. Game on. We got a problem. Money is the manifestation of the problem here. The inheritance, assets. Okay? Who appointed me as a judge and an arbitrator between you? And then he said to them, watch out! Exclamation point. He's talking to you. Just so you know, he's not just talking to anybody. He's talking to you. Watch out. You think this is somebody else's problem? You're wrong. This is our problem. This is a universal strong man standing right there waiting for an opportunity. That's what this is. Watch out. Okay? Be on your guard. Every day when you wake up, be on your guard against this. This is not just once and be done with it. The Greek here is every day. You got to wake up and be careful. Watch out. Watch out when? Watch out today. Could be right in front of you. When? Today. Probably will be. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You might want to underline that. The game is not to gain assets. The guy with the most stuff at the end wins? Yeah? No. A man told his wife, I want to be buried with everything. I want all my money. I want you to cash out every account and put it in my coffin with me. So she did exactly what he said. She cashed out all of his accounts, and at his funeral, she wrote him a check. All right, here we go. And so he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Right? Because he's a good farmer. He earned it. Right? He's intelligent, smart, hard worker. A good farmer, he earned it, so he ought to get to keep it, because after all, it's mine. Right? Do you understand how close the strong man is? All right. He said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, and notice how first person this is. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years to come. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. I, me, mine. But God said to him, you fool, exclamation point. Wrong perception. You're not looking at what's happening in your life the right way. The strong man has control of your mind. You fool, he said. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Let me tell you again what Jesus just said. Who's going to get what you prepared for yourself? You understand his intention? His work, his life, his property, his assets, his job, his children. Everything is what? His. Everything's his. Everything he does is for himself. You fool. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be, and you definitely need to get this part. All of us do, because this is universal. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because the strong man is evidenced in your wealth. That is a very serious temptation. How hard it is for a man of knowledge without godly application to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for a man who is intelligent but not intelligent toward God to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for a man in any situation in life. The strong man is everywhere. Everywhere in our life. And so here's the key. Whatever it is that's tugging on your heart, whatever it is that is pulling you away from God, understand that's evidence of the strong man. And if you will not take the gifts and the graces that God has given to you and use them for the glory of God, how hard it is for you to enter the kingdom of God. I don't care what it is that you're holding on to. It could be money. Money is not the root of all evil. Money, without its godly application, boom, you're in trouble. You get this? Intelligence without its godly application, boom. Knowledge without godly application, boom. And it doesn't matter if you're here in the church or out in the world. The strong man is there. And this must be overcome. And it is only overcome with humility. He turns to his disciples and he tells this parable. How hard it is for this man who interrupts the parade to get into the kingdom of God. Not because he has money, not because his father was wise and gained assets, but because he turned that into a selfish ambition. That's his problem, is a selfish ambition toward God. So I want to share with you something. This month is Go Month, and I just thought I would spend a little time talking with you about this and kind of what it's really all about and how we're to connect. Jesus makes it clear, and anyone who has finances, I don't have to tell, any godly person who has finances, I don't have to tell you, you're supposed to be generous. You already know that. You don't need me to tell you that. Even if you don't have finances, if you're a godly person, you know you're supposed to be generous. You just know it. You don't need me to tell you how much to give. In fact, that's evidence of the strong man, honestly, in the church. I don't really need to do that. You and God need to do that. And I need to trust that that's what you're doing. And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to talk with you about the possibility of creating a little bit of a different culture on Sunday morning, something that maybe will help us, and I'll learn pretty quickly if you want to do this or not, but something that is for us. We have, I obviously wore my shirt for a reason. Go, what does it say? Other people are important, because this is what that guy who shouts out, this is what he needs to know. He needs to figure this out in his life. So do you, and so do I. And so in my life, you know, I have this idea about how I'm supposed to live. And it comes from God. And all my life, and my family will witness to this, all my life, I have known that I'm here, ever since I came to Jesus in my 20s, that I'm supposed to serve people. I just know that I'm supposed to do that. And I know I'm supposed to go out and help people who can't really help themselves. And I have always done that. I have 5,000 stories that I could tell you. So what I want to do is I want to challenge you to think about something. I would like to create a culture of being other-minded. I think this is the number one thing that the church should do in our society, is help people to realize that they're not here for themselves and that they're other-minded. And it manifests, this idea will manifest itself in a lot of ways. One of the ways that I hope eventually it manifests itself is something that Thomas Aquinas said that's so appropriate for our church and our society today. Thomas Aquinas, centuries ago, he said, you have your opinion, and I have my opinion. And if we don't have the same opinion, I can still love you. That's what he said. And I think to create a culture that is other-minded, one of the things, this is why when I came here, we started this Go concept, where we would go out and help our neighbors, and I have a bunch of projects here. The purpose of this is for us to live out this. you understand that we actually do something to go live it out. And for me, in my lifetime, I've always been kind of captured by physically doing things for people. Like I like going and like pulling up the weeds and cleaning. I like doing that kind of stuff for someone else. And I got to be honest with you, it makes me feel good to do that. And so I've always created an environment in every church I've ever served where this idea starts bubbling up to the surface and starts to become part of the DNA of the church. Like this is who we are. This is what we do. And that's one of the reasons that it didn't take long after I got here, it was like, I got to do something. And so we started. It has been, for the most part, it has been pretty institutional. In other words, we don't say much about it unless Ernie initiates it. Right? Yeah. And I want to create a culture that I don't initiate it, that it is just who we are. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, I have a bunch of projects here. I have a bunch of leaders. I got a bunch of stuff that's going to be done that makes me feel good. I feel great that we've got like 15 projects in the church and people are going to be doing stuff. I love that. But I also want you to know that I'm pretty convinced that there's a lot of people who believe in this who just don't want to get up on a ladder and clean some gutters. That might not be your thing. But that doesn't mean this isn't important to you. I get that, okay? So I'm going to share with you some of the projects, but I'm going to challenge you to think about something. I would like for our prayer time from now on, if we can, if we want this, it'll happen. I would like for our prayer time every Sunday to include some of this. And I'm not going to initiate it. You are. So here's what I would like for us to think about doing. If you do this in some manner in the course of the week, I would like for you to wear this to church on Sunday and to be a witness without a word that you have done something for someone else. I would love for this to be your Sunday outfit every Sunday. I that's just me. And here's the thing. When we do this, when someone does this, I believe that there's something true about being generous that we don't really talk about very much. I think you and I, we long to be part of God's story. That we don't want to give our finances to a building if the building doesn't have a story. You understand? We don't want to give our finances to a church if the church isn't part of the story. And so this is a way for you to engage in God's story. So on any given Sunday, somebody wears a Go shirt, it means they have chosen to engage in a God story. They've made a decision to get engaged. And I would love for us to be able to celebrate that story, but here's how I want to do it. Well, here's what I think will work best for us. I think the story should be told without use of the first person pronoun. In other words, if you wear a shirt, that story needs to be told, but you can't be the one telling it. Somebody else has to tell that story. Wouldn't that be interesting? So I'm going to start. I have a story, okay? I have a current story, and I have a future story. My family cannot, for the most part, Ryan could, but for the most part, I don't really want Ezekiel on the roof of your house cleaning out your gutters. He would love that, okay? He would do it in a heartbeat, but I'm not really to that point yet where that's okay with me. So I think in my family, we talked about this, maybe he could do something else. So he's going to engage people in an act of love on November the 24th. That's a Sunday. And what he's going to do is he's going to go to Woodbridge, the home right up the street, and he's going to have a tea party. And he's going to invite the residents to come to the tea party, and we're going to serve some homemade Christmas cookies. No nuts, they tell me. Some homemade Christmas cookies that anybody who wants to engage in this story is welcome to engage. You're welcome to bring some Christmas cookies to church that Sunday, and he's going to go and have a Christmas party with them, and he's going to dress up like Bob Ross and paint him a painting. That is this. That's this. Now, here's what I believe. So I'm going to give him, where's Ezekiel at? Here's Ezekiel DeWeese, Bob Ross Tea Party. There you go. If you would like to engage with him, you can make some cookies. How about that? Get to wear a shirt. Why are you wearing your shirt? Well, Ezekiel had a tea party and I made some cookies for him. Right? Simple. It's not hard. I actually think all of us can do this. I think at the root, we know we're supposed to. We're supposed to engage our neighbors. Jesus says, love your neighbors. Right? So what? I have another one. And this one just happened, so this won't be first person pronoun. Wednesday, there was a trunk or treat party here at the church. You guys got to witness that. Well, my wife would not stay home. No matter how much I tried to convince her that she doesn't really need to go, she had to come. She wouldn't take stay home for an answer. I'll stay home with you. No, I'm going. Why? Because she wants to be the one handing out the candy to the children because she can't wait to see how happy they are when they get a little piece of candy. Do you understand? We were created in such a way that we're supposed to enter into these stories of engaging with other people. Sometimes in the simplest of acts. And so I want to challenge you. I really want to challenge you to pray about this. What can I do to make this a reality to my neighbors? I know there's something. Our world, you guys know this, our world is in trouble. We're in trouble. And I can't seem to make any progress by getting loud at it and shouting at it. It doesn't seem to get me anywhere. So you know what? Time to let the light shine. Let the light shine. Love your neighbors. So here's what I want to do. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go quickly here. I have, that one's mine, Tom Edwards is going to be helping one of his neighbors. He has a project here, and he would like a helper. So if you would like to help Tom, see him afterwards. If you want, you can see him now. Scott is going to be hanging a cabinet for one of his neighbors. He would like someone to come and help him hang a cabinet. So if you would, this Scott behind you. This Scott, he doesn't know this, but he volunteered for a big project, and he needs a lot of helpers. He's going to be power washing and doing yard chores for someone. If you want to help him, go see Scott or Scott. The youth group took on, where's Larry? The youth group took on the biggest project. They have lots of help, but they need some prayers because they're going to be going nuts. That's a big project. So the youth group is going to be taking that on. I got Charles. Jim Flanders is taking on a project. He needs at least one or two helpers. If you want to help Jim, see him after church. He's going to go help our neighbors. He's going to tear down a shed. He doesn't know what he's doing yet, but he's going to tear down a shed. This is what you get for saying, I'll do something. All right, now go do that. Get that done. That's Brad and Charles. All right, I got some people at the next service, thank God, right? If you would like a project, you can be a project manager. All you got to do is tell me right now, because I got five more projects right here ready to go. Who would like to perhaps be a part of a future project? Where'd they go? Where did my future projects go? They got to be in here. You going to help me, buddy? Is under there?
No.
Well, I have four future projects.
And they're all missing.
All right. If you want a future project, let me know. Okay? I know I have them somewhere. I'm sorry, I went over a little bit. Oh, there they are. Thank you, Troy. Here are my future projects. Thank you, Troy. I knew I had them. All right, if you're interested in a future project, one is cleaning gutters and possibly some light painting. One is cleaning a house. One is light yard work and replacing a bulb. One is throwing out some mulch and trimming some hedges. Anybody want to take any of those? You're welcome to do that. You want one? You're going to clean the house. Atta girl, that's what I like to hear. Anybody who wants to help with some home cleaning, this is an entire house.
Whatever.
Go. All right, so there we go. So I got just a couple left. And there will be other projects coming up as time goes on. So thank you very much. If you would like to help with something, you just don't want to stand up right now, you got an insert in your bulletin, you can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, okay? But here's the bottom line. All of us can do something. Every one of us can do something. I would love for you this month to do something and witness to this church that we're part of God's story, okay? Let's continue our worship with communion as we share and grow in faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, O Lord, and we ask for your great blessing upon us. We confess, O God, that we have not been faithful in loving our neighbors. We have not been faithful in standing up for those who are oppressed. Forgive us our sin and lead us unto righteousness as only you can. For it is our great privilege and our honor to serve you and to humbly stand beside you. So, Father, we give you this hour. Bless this cup and this bread. Unto the goodness of your kingdom. Amen. I invite our communion stewards, if you would, come on forward as we share together. We remember how in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat." How after supper he poured out the cup and said, "This is a new covenant. My blood shed for the forgiveness of of your sin. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we do proclaim our Lord's death until he comes again. Holy Communion is an open invitation to all who stand in need of grace and mercy. You are welcome here at the Lord's table. All who trust in the Lord for their day today and tomorrow are welcome here. All who repent of their sins, confess themselves that they stand in need of a Savior, are welcome here. You may come as the Lord leads. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks most of all, Lord, that you have promised us that all who come to the throne of grace and confess their sins shall be washed white as snow, that there is indeed new beginning and new hope for tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that we would be aware of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts that is attempting to guide and convict and strengthen and encourage our pathway toward you. Help us, Lord, to humble our lives and indeed believe that other people have value unto you. And this we ask and we pray in the name of our Lord and